Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
He's born ready, baby. I didn't even got to ask him twice.
I'm not least sure, baby.
That's it.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, call in 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till at least 7:15 today, Beeb, because, yeah, there's not much going on, man.
Not a lot.
I tell you what, this is reminiscent of the COVID days where there was no fight scheduled or anything like that. I mean, it's there's some fights scheduled, obviously, but yeah, I mean, it has been barren this week, man.
You know what's crazy? I was talking to D-Style today, and when you look at all the times that boxing counter-programs each other, all the promoters and the networks, they counter-program each other.
Yeah.
We'll have one weekend when there's like 20 fights, and then you have to sit there and set your DVR, and then they go up against UFC, and it's a mess. And then you have these weekends. Why not just balance it out?
Makes sense.
Spread it out.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Spread it out, man, because, yeah, I tell you what, man. Notorious says you guys did that fake heavyweight tournament.
You know why it was fake? Because guess who got robbed in that tournament? Tyson Fury should have won that tournament hands down, running away. And Robbie and Eric, with their nostalgia
Stop
picks,
it.
They ruined that tournament.
Stop it. You had them beat Ali. Stop it. Come on. Matter with you?
Guy said Ali beating everybody.
Well, yeah, he's the best, right? He's got to be the best heavyweight out there. Stop it. Matter with you. All right, let's get started with it. We had one fight this weekend, one fight card anyway, I believe, and that was Gallia 5 versus Tommy Frank, the undercard of that. Yeah, you know, didn't really, we're not going to talk about it, so that tells you how good it was. Gallia 5 beats Tommy Frank in the first round. Not much of a fight here, man. This fight was all your five from the opening bell. He knocked Frank down early and just stayed on top of him. I mean, he was throwing punches, a ton of punches, man. Frank just had no answer for it. The towel came in. That was it. Your five looks very good, man. He seems to be improving, too. We've seen him before. Olympic fighter, Olympic medalist, gold medalist, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Really good fighter. He's got about six pro fights now, five or six pro fights now. He's looked good in all of them. You know, and I'll tell you what, man, he's putting it together. I like what I'm seeing. He throws a lot of punches. You know, you don't want to step him up too much too soon, but the guys that are fighting now, you know, the guys that he's fighting now, I'd want to bump him up a little bit. You know what I mean? You got to get a streak going. I understand that. But this guy's got it, man. He's got something there. He throws – I like the amount of punches he throws, but I'm also concerned about the amount of punches he throws. You know what I mean? He's still got that amateur whirlwind type of Aaron Pryor type style, and I need to see him settle down more with game plan and see – I would like to see him go a little bit longer and get a guy – who can stretch him out longer. You know what I mean? But again, he's only five fights in, and we're already, you know, there's really not much to critique about his performance. I mean, he's done everything he's supposed to do. He goes in there and he blasts that guy, and I mean, the amount of shots that this guy throws, I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, as I'm watching Frank, he's on the ropes, and I'm thinking, man, if Frank can get out a couple more rounds and like, let's see. But there was, I mean, that pressure was relentless. I mean, you weren't getting out of there. He was getting tagged every which way, you know.
He's a very athletically gifted fighter, too, so.
He really is. Yeah, he's – I mean, he looks like the guy, man. He really does. He looks like he's coming in at the right moment and the right management, everything. It looks good for him. I like it, and I hope he can stay on this track. I hope they don't try to push him with these stupid fights. You know, like in England, a lot of times they'll put you in fights that you have no business. Kell Brook, Triple G. Who's the other one? Counter Ben and who's the other
Chris
guy?
Eubank Jr.
Chris Eubank Jr.
Chris Eubank.
That's another
yeah.
fight that had, like, why is that fight even happening? You know what
yeah.
I mean? I mean, why would that fight, why would you even pick that fight to happen?
That's true.
They're in two different, way different weight classes. Like, this doesn't
yeah.
make any sense at all, guys.
I guess
you know?
It's the money.
I get it, man. But listen, you can make more money if you just keep winning. You don't have to have the money now. The money will come. If you're champion, sometimes you have to wait. Look at Crawford. Now he's the guy. He's the main guy that everybody
yeah.
recognizes now, pound for pound, no asterisk. None.
Got to play the long game.
Got to play the long game sometimes, right? It doesn't always. You're not always on the Mike Tyson plan here. You know, it
yep.
just is. And, you know, look what happened on Mike Tyson's plan. You know, his longevity wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, UK loves those nonsense matchups. I agree. Yeah, just stay out of that. And he's got to rely, be on his manager, not his promoters. He's got to rely on his manager to keep his career, because you can't rely on the boxer, because the boxer will want to fight anybody. He'll fight for the title tomorrow if you let him. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of anybody. He'll fight anybody. So you have to have a solid backing behind the scenes, the managers, everybody, your handlers, everything like that. You got to have that before you can, you know, before you advance and before they wreck your career with stupid matches like this. Talking about promises of money and this and that. Well, if you do win, if you go up six divisions and you do win, come on, man. Like, give me a break. And, you know, like I said, man, Eddie Hearn is notorious for that nonsense. Now, is that who's – I guess that's who – I'm guessing he's promoting him. Are you fine?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
You know, and I tell you, he does seem like, you know, he seems logical. But, again, some of the moves that he makes with his fighters – I mean, he ruined Kell Brook's career, you know. He gets Amir Khan in his stable. They can't make that Kell Brook fight. They couldn't
Crazy.
Make it. They couldn't make it. He got a three-fight deal, and you couldn't put that together? You promote both guys. What are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about, man?
It's funny, too, because I always thought Brook would beat him. I was one of the few that always rolled with Brook. Brook was a good fighter, man. It's a shame what happened to him with Golovkin. That was a horrible
thing. It was a horrible thing.
That was,
you know, and look, man, I mean, you know, that's where I'll be honest, that's where we first noticed that Golovkin slippage that we talked about, because he got touched up by Brook. I mean, not touched up. I mean, again, you have that weight differential, but that's where we kind of noticed that little, you know, listen, man,
saw little chinks.
Yeah.
Little
you
chinks.
See little bitty chinks in the armor that say, hey, you know, what's going on here? He shouldn't have got hit with that. What happened here? You know,
that's
and then
true.
you start seeing it add up. You know, like I said, man, it's just Shoeshine Boxing says two weight classes like Charlo and Canelo. I got to be honest with you. Yeah, I was more excited when I thought it was the 160-pound Charlo. When I found it was the 154, I was just kind of scratching my head like, what? I mean, I know he's undisputed, but you're moving up two weight classes. That ain't something. I mean, listen, man, you've allowed Canelo to settle into that 168. He's heavy. He ain't coming down. He said as much. He said, I'm not going back down. Because I can't.
Way.
I'm not going to
He's
do it.
He's freaking at
huge.
168, right? Like, he took his shirt off in the California press conference because I guess his shirt was all sweaty because it was hot out. And then he put another shirt on. And he was already shredded.
Yeah.
And it's like a month out.
Yeah.
It's a month out, and this guy's already shredded. He looks like he's pretty close to being on weight, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, so 168 is his – that's his wheelhouse right there. No question about that.
I mean, he's short, but he's got a big, thick neck and a thick back. And
he's short. He's going to be short anybody he fights, you know. I mean, he's always a little guy. You know, what is he, 5'9"? Something like that.
Yeah. He's like 5'8".
So, I mean, he's
the biggest guy in the world.
No, and so anybody that gets next to him, especially at that weight, it's going to be taller. It's going to be bigger, you know.
He was on the Breakfast Club last week. That was awesome.
I saw that.
That was
pretty good.
Really, Crawford was on there. Crawford was on
really
Joe Rogan.
He's a really smart guy, man. He's a really smart guy as Canelo.
That was a great interview.
I caught snippets. I didn't catch the whole Joe Rogan one, but I caught snippets. So,
yeah, that was really good.
Let me ask you this, because, again, there's not a whole lot of going on in just the Gallia fight, and that was pretty much it. But let me ask you this. Let's talk about this for a minute. Terrence Crawford said, he's at 147 now, obviously, that he would move up 20 pounds to face Canelo. If Canelo wins, or Charlo wins, no matter who wins, he will move up to fight that winner.
Yeah.
You think that fight happens?
The more I think about it, yeah. I think it could happen, sure.
I mean,
I think it could happen. Because you know what? And again, people can say what they want, but these are all big money. Crawford really got a lot of momentum coming off of this Spence fight. A lot of people talked about that fight. A lot of media outlets kind of covered that fight. And did about close to 700,000, like 675, close to 700,000 pay-per-view buys, going up against a good UFC card as well. And and Crawford really hasn't.
Card.
Yeah, Crawford really hasn't stopped after that. He's been hitting everything. He's on the Breakfast Club, Joe Rogan, Slay in the Morning. He's on CBS in the Morning, the Today Show. These guys everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's really putting himself out there, and I think this could be a big fight. Another undisputed versus undisputed fight at 158. And you know what's crazy? Obviously, Charlo is bigger than Crawford, right? But if we were to say who would win between Charlo and Crawford, I would say at least probably 80% of the people, maybe 85% of people, would pick Crawford, right?
And
people are saying that Charlo will probably lose against Canelo, but he'll give him a good fight, right? So, I don't know, man. I think Crawford's speed and his long reach and his just overall skill set could give Canelo problems.
Sure.
And you could sit there and say, well, he's older than Canelo Crawford, but obviously Canelo's got a lot more miles on him, right? Canelo's got some injury. This guy Crawford's never really had an injury. Never really had a serious injury.
He's in crazy physical shape, no question.
Yeah, and he's freakishly strong for his size.
Yeah.
He's freakishly strong anyways.
Like, wrestling does
deadlift.
That's what the wrestling
does. Yeah, he had a wrestling background. He's deadlifting like 455 pounds, doing like squatting like freaking 315 pounds per rep. This guy's a strong dude. It's funny because when people were asking about it at first, he was saying to himself, nah, there's weight classes for a reason. Nah, that's a lot of weight. Well, Canelo, if he comes down to 160, saying all those things on the other podcast. But I don't know, it's kind of weird to me. It's almost like after seeing that press conference and seeing Charlo standing next to Canelo, a lot of people are saying, damn, Canelo's really not that big after all.
No.
You know what I mean? And I think maybe, and he even said this on the Joe Rogan podcast, he's like, yeah, you know, I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I'm faster than him. I got long arms than him.
Yeah.
I can hit pretty hard, too. And it's almost like he was saying, he was talking himself into saying, like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Right? And I think when he's like, when he saw the press conference and he saw Charlo standing next to him doing the face-off, he probably said to himself, I don't know, I think he's really not that big after all. Maybe I can, I want to try this. This is not impossible, right? So
yeah, I think it. You know, I think it. But again, Canelo has said, I'm not going down. We're not doing this.
No.
You know, there's no catch weight. This 168.
And he should never should go down.
No, no. You know, but that's what is that? It's 21 pounds.
21 pounds.
That's a lot of weight, man. That's a lot of weight.
No one. Like, okay, you could say someone started from here and ended up here. Nobody did a one-stop jump from you know, one weight class up three at one, like just one from one fight. You know what I'm saying?
Who was the highest?
Roy Jones.
Armstrong.
Roy Jones.
Well, no, because Roy Jones was at 175 when he jumped up.
He was at 175, and he went to cruiserweight and heavyweight.
That's only two.
So that's two divisions.
Like it or not, that's only two.
So Armstrong, what did he have?
135, and then he went to
135, 147, and 160 at the same time.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. He never won the 160. That's my mistake. I think it was featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight at the same time.
Featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight. That makes more sense. But he jumped from lightweight to welterweight. And so did Roberto Duran. I don't ever remember anybody jumping three weight classes, though.
I'm trying to remember.
What did Paz do? What did Paz do? Because Paz was at lightweight. Paz was at, like, what, 130? 135?
Oh, here's the thing with Paz.
But he went to 154.
He went to 154, and then from 154, he went to 168. So that, he had some fights at 162, but not many.
Yeah.
So this is like a big jump. Now I'm trying to, I have to go back and look and remember, like look at the sequence when Harry, and how Henry Armstrong won those titles. I do remember he fought for the middleweight title, and it was a draw, and he got robbed. So if you're a four division champion back in those days and there's only eight weight classes, that really means something, right?
Yeah, let me see what Vinny Paz did here. Let's see. It's 50 wins, 30 knockouts, 10 losses. He was knocked out.
He never
times.
Had a title. Yeah, he never had a title. He had 135 pound title and 154 pound title. He never had like a 168 pound title. Well, unless you count like those fucking IBC titles, which I don't. But
yeah. No, I don't count those either. Let's see if we can get it here. Pounds 160, because he was at 130. Early in his career.
135, then he went to 140. See.
He started out about 135, yeah.
He went from 140 to 154, and then he went from 154 to 168.
He was at 130 for a long time. Then he went to 140, or 135. Yeah. He was at 135 for most of his time. Greg Haugen, the Greg Haugen fight is where after that he moved up, it looks like. Fought Roger Mayweather at 140.
Yeah.
140. From 140, he went to 154. And that's where he fought Gilbert Delay. So he moved up two weight classes. From 154, he went to 160.
Him?
168, that's where he ended.
There was a time before Mayweather and De La Hoya came around that only him and Roberto Duran were the only two fighters to have won titles at 135 and 154. But then you had Manny Pacquiao, you had Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya, and you had Pernell Whitaker. So those fighters ended up doing it. But I think he was the second fighter to do it.
Yeah, Shane Mosley, he's right. Reese Mack is right. Shane Mosley is also one that went from 135 to 147. I remember that was a big deal when he fought De La Hoya and skipped that whole junior welter and went right up to
But him. No one just made a three division jump.
No.
No one.
No, no.
Even Henry Armstrong.
First. That would be a first.
Yeah.
Well, and Sugar Ray, Sugar Ray Robinson was going up, but he I think he had conquered divisions up because he fight as high as like 175 or something like that?
He did 47.
Maxson. Is it
one,
Joey Maxson he fought?
He was beating Joey Maxson.
Yeah.
And if that was a 12-round fight, he would have won.
He would have won that fight. He just got tired.
Imagine it, like the same thing with Hearns and Leonard. If that was a 12-round fight, Hearns would have won that. Like, imagine.
If he went to a decision, Hearns wins that fight.
Yes.
Either fight, he should have won the decision. Yeah. I mean, Hearns dominated.
He got knocked out the 14th fucking round.
What was it about Sugar Ray's style that Hearns just rolled right over? I mean, because he did. In a lot of ways, granted, he got caught. I know he got finished in the first fight, but he dominated those two fights.
I think maybe just
his speed and his –
It was his jab. For whatever reason.
Yeah, he had a deadly jab, man. That jab was so good.
Leonard couldn't jab with him. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Then what Leonard started to do was he started to kind of change levels with his jab, and he started jabbing him like in his chest, under his armpit, and he moved the fight to the inside.
And
you know,
I tell you what, everybody knew Hearns had a punch at that point. Nobody really, you know, and we knew Sugar Ray could punch, but he was more flash than anything. Sugar Ray could punch. Sugar Ray was strong. Sugar Ray had a shot. I mean,
he can
get rid of you, man. That's for sure.
I love that Donnie Lalonde knockout. That was a pretty good knockout.
I never did like the Donnie Lalonde fight because it was a great knockout. Don't get me wrong. It was a great knockout. But, like, who was Donnie Lalonde? You know what I mean? Like, nobody knew him. Nobody knew that. Stop it.
Come on.
He's a golden boy, man.
He had the beautiful.
Golden boy.
He had the most beautiful head of hair, man, that I've ever seen.
Listen, man, he looked like a movie actor. I'll give you that. He did. He looked like a movie actor, but. Yeah, as far as
straight from Central Casting. What are you talking about? That guy.
Yeah, he was from Central Casting. That's it. And he fought like it, too, let me tell you.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights because that was it, the Yafai fight. So let's talk about the upcoming fights for August 26th. There's two of them, and we'll start with the main event first. Jared, Big Baby Anderson. That's right, Biebs. The main event, baby, the best heavyweight, I dare say, on the planet. I'm going to go a step further, and I'm going to say he's the best heavyweight in the universe. I don't think there's anybody from any other solar system that can come over here and beat that guy right now. No way.
He's the best heavyweight in Ohio. We'll give him that.
No question about that. Yeah, he's the best heavyweight in Ohio, right, for sure, right now, for sure. I would say, again, in the universe, I don't think there's anybody that can beat this guy. Jared Big Baby Anderson versus Andre Rodenko, 10 rounds, heavyweights on ESPN Plus in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Saturday. I believe Saturday is the 26th, right?
Yeah, it is.
All right, there we go. Efe Ajagba on the undercard versus Zan Kasabutski, 10 rounds, heavyweights. The Boogeyman, Beeb, is on the under. This is a great card, by the way. If you guys haven't seen this card is a great card. Heavyweights, baby. Bakadir Jalalov. The heavyweight gold medalist, the Boogeyman, Ivan Drago, whatever you want to call him, is fighting on that card. On Reed and Werim, maybe not, fighting somebody. Listen, it doesn't matter what the guy's name is. You'll never hear from him after this fight. 8 rounds, heavyweights. There you go. Nico Ali Walsh is also on the undercard versus Sona Akale. 6 rounds. Abdullah Mason is on the undercard versus Cesar Viraga. There you go.
These are hard things to pronounce.
I know, man. I'm having a tough time here. 6 rounds, lightweights. Let's see here. Did you know, I don't know if you guys knew this. I don't know if anybody in the chat. I got this. All you guys in the chat, I'm going to give you a little history lesson here. Because I know you guys don't know this. How many of you guys out there knew Nico Ali Walsh, believe it or not, is the grandson of Muhammad Ali? This is why you come here and you get the facts, baby. You get the facts from me, right? Nobody knows that. Beeb, you didn't know that. Nobody else knew that. Ali Walsh, did you know that? I wouldn't have put 2 and 2 together. No way. I've never heard ESPN say it. I'll tell you that.
And you'll be reminded of it about 7,300 times during the broadcast.
Right?
Just in case you may forget.
Just in case you don't know. This is his grandson right here. The bouncing baby grandson of Muhammad Ali. There you go. He just said it right there. Muhammad Ali. All right. Now, I don't know what time this is on. It's in Poland, Saturday, on ESPN Plus. I imagine it'll be early or something like that. I don't know what the time difference are. I know from here in China, it's a 12-hour difference, but as far as from here in Poland, I don't know.
Like a five or 6-hour difference. I think the card starts like at 2 in the afternoon. I'll have to double
check. I would venture it'll be around that. You know, I would venture to say it'd be around that. Alexander Usyk versus that guy who lost to Joe Joyce, who quit against Joe Joyce. 12
don't
rounds.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
What'd I do?
I mean, the guy had retinal damage, man. Please don't do that to this guy. He fought like a warrior.
Who?
Say his name just once.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Show him some respect.
The guy who quit against Joe Joyce, right? That was the guy?
Mr. Daniel.
The guy who quit against Joe Joyce, right?
Don't do that. Don't.
Did he not? He did, right? I'm not imagining that, right? He did fight Joe Joyce and he quit during the fight,
11th round, his eye was rolling in the back of his head, retinal bleeding, could have lost his vision, and he still labored on.
Still labored on. I just got a text from our producer, Robert. He said that boxing would be in Poland on 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And if he don't know, nobody knows, trust me.
Is that when the main event starts, or that when the card? Is that when the card starts? That's when the main event may go.
I don't.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Let's Google time in Poland right now. Time in
Poland. Poland.
We're gonna look. Robbie always screws things up, man. I never trust that guy. He's shiesty.
It's 12:25 a.m. Monday, the 21st in Poland. So.
Wow.
So they're about 6 hours ahead. They're kind of like London. They're about 6 hours
ahead. That's what I said. The same thing. 6 hours ahead.
Yeah.
So the main event is going to start at 5, Robbie. The whole card's done. Because the card will probably go live at 2 in the afternoon like the DAZN card.
Now he's going to blow up my phone. Now, you know, why do you do this? Why don't you just wait till he gets on the air? Because now he's going to blow up our phones talking about
it doesn't. When he gets on the line, I'm gonna blow him up when he gets on the line.
Stop.
How's that?
Come on, don't do that. What's the matter with you?
Show light him up like a Christmas tree.
Show some respect, will you? Please. Please. That's all I'm asking is for you to just try. Can you do that? All I'm asking is just to try. Can you please just try?
You know that guy steams my beans. You know that.
Steams your beans.
You know that guy steams my beans.
What's the matter with you? What is that, a Boston thing? What is that?
I mean, that guy is a fountain of misinformation, bro.
Stop it. What's the matter with you?
I'm a fountain of knowledge. I'm a fountain of knowledge, man. When I erupt, all the knowledge that comes out when I erupt.
You're a volcano of knowledge. You're a volcano of knowledge.
Volcano of knowledge. When the knowledge comes out, it's like DEFCON 5, man. Everyone's brain cells will explode because they can't handle the knowledge.
My dad laughed so hard when you said that. You were like, I'm a volcano of knowledge, and I erupt.
You told me that, man. You told me that. I almost cried, man. I almost cried when you told me that because I remember you loved when I said that. I almost cried when you told me that.
So Alexander Usyk versus the guy who quit. So, B, I'm taking Usyk in this fight by massacre.
It's hard not to.
I don't think that Dubois. He's like a French guy now. Okay.
Show some respect to this. Whoa.
This is the first time I'm.
That was totally uncalled for. With the French guy.
Well, I was.
Wait.
You know, I'm just saying. That sounds like a French name. Dubois.
This guy's got a family. Don't disrespect his heritage.
I like French people.
Please.
You know, I'm just saying, you know. I tell you what, Usyk's a better boxer. This is a homecoming of sorts for him. I know it's in Poland, which is right next to Ukraine.
Yeah.
He's going to be sky high. There's no way Usyk loses this fight. This means too much to him. It means too much to those people. No way he loses this fight.
Could this be a mental letdown, though, for Usyk? Because he wants to fight guys like Fury. He's coming off big victories against Joshua. Isn't it crazy how after that loss, Joshua fought twice, and Usyk hasn't even fought yet? Isn't that crazy? And Wilder hasn't fought in almost a year himself.
Yeah.
But
no.
Joshua got out two more times. That's going to give Joshua credit for staying active.
Yes, he doesn't look,
Fury.
Doesn't look great. Fury, I don't know what he's doing. He's waiting on
Did you see the Netflix? Did you see that Netflix special with him?
With who?
Fury.
No, I haven't seen that yet. The time with the Furies or whatever, or hanging out with the Furies
I, you know, it's crazy. He's got a beautiful family. You know who made that special? Honestly, his wife. His wife is hilarious. Like the way she runs things and stuff.
She can run whatever she wants. You know what I'm saying?
Well, please.
Nothing, man. I didn't say nothing.
Show some decorum here, please.
Wasn't even me.
Oh, but it was good. It was funny.
Yeah.
I think he's got like 7 kids or something like that.
He's a charismatic guy. It's hard not to like him. Like when you see him in interviews and you hear him talk and everything like that, and you see him acting like a buffoon out in public and everything, but when you get him behind doors and you see him interact with people, he seems like a super nice guy, man.
Everywhere he goes, like the fans just like want to take pictures with him, and he just takes pictures with everybody.
Yeah. As far as this being a letdown for Usyk, I don't think so. I don't think he cares about Tyson Fury right now. I think he's focused on his fight. That's just the way that guy is. He's got so many ways to win that fight.
He's only fought 3 men in the heavyweight division. Joshua twice, Chisora, And who was the first? I forget who the first fight was.
What's his face? Chisora was the one. Well, when
he was the second fight. He was the second fight. It was a tough fight.
Was it Bellew in heavyweight or was it Bellew at cruiserweight?
Oh, Bellew was a cruiserweight defense.
Okay.
Trying to remember the other guy he fought, and the Chisora fight was not a great performance, and the fight before that was not a great performance either. Let me pull that up. Let's forget. Chaz Witherspoon, good old Chaz Witherspoon.
Yeah.
He knocked him out in 7 rounds.
Yeah,
very uneventful.
I'm your leader. Got it. He's always
very uneventful. 7 rounds, and he only technically fought 3 men at heavyweight, and two of them fights with Joshua. So we have to ask ourselves. Obviously, Usyk's good, but is he that good, or is Joshua just did he decline a little bit? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So.
Bonner has 14.
I don't know.
I don't think Bonner has 14 kids, does he? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know how many kids. I don't know how many kids.
Game of Hot Garbage.
Oh, God.
I passed Madison Bowl the other day. I was coming back from the vet and passed Madison Bowl. And for those of you who don't know who that is, that's where Adrian Bronner shot that dude, or there was some gunplay or whatever where I think he's supposed to have shot somebody or shot at somebody. Over in Madison Bowl, so I almost took a picture of it coming home, but it didn't have time. But so I was like, no way.
Tyson Fury has 6 kids.
6 kids. Look at how many kids Adrian Bronner has.
Adrian Bronner, how many kids?
Seven.
Got 7? Okay.
It says here, this is great.
Tyson 7. Tyson Fury got 6, he got 7.
Yeah, it says here, it should be noted that Bronner has 7 children. And he has been involved in a lot of controversies with the baby's mothers of all his kids.
They're all different. They're all different women.
I think he's got. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
And I guess at a certain age, Tyson Fury, because he's a traveler, they pull the kids out of school and they do homeschooling.
Does he really?
Yeah, they do homeschooling.
Bronner does.
No, Tyson Fury.
Oh, I thought you said Adrian Bronner does homeschooling.
Yeah,
serious?
Because he's a traveler. He's a traveler.
Yeah, for sure.
And they do homeschooling, I guess, after a certain age.
I thought you meant Bronner did homeschooling.
No, Bronner don't.
Kidding me? For real?
I don't know what the fuck he does.
I'm like, wow.
He ain't doing that, no.
You're a man of many talents right there.
Jesus.
On the zone, on the 26th also. This is on the zone. This is what you guys pay $26 a month for. Main event, Oscar Collazo versus Garen Diagon. 12 rounds for Collazo's WBO strawweight title. Juan Carlos Camacho Jr. versus Jorge Orozco. 10 rounds, junior bantamweight. That is what you're paying $25 a month for. Joy. Not buying it. I'm done with it. I'm done.
You canceled, right?
Yeah, they're done.
You're officially canceled.
We're done. You're not. September 2nd, a week later, is Liam Smith versus Chris Eubank, that rematch. You think that goes any difference?
Yeah. I think Eubank beats him. He was winning the fight before he got stopped.
Yeah.
You know what else, too? I hate making excuses.
You're making a lot of excuses, though, for him.
But
I know you hate making excuses, but then you're going to make an excuse.
But I'm going to make an excuse. So he was training for that Conor Benn fight and trying to come down at a weight that he never fought before. Then that fight falls through, and then he has to start another training camp. And I just think that there's too many things going on before that fight. And he was winning that fight before he got knocked out. I had him winning every round before he got knocked out. I just think he's going to win a decision this time around. Maybe even a late stoppage. I just think he's a better fighter.
He's getting murked, son. He's going to get murked again. He's getting murked.
I mean, you know what? I may do a pie bet for you on that one. I'm going to take
I'd rather do Trump's weight on the pie bet. I'd rather do Trump's weight on the
last
pie
time, The last time, right, you went against Eubank Jr. You picked Eubank Jr. against, what's his name, George Groves, and I picked George Groves. Okay. Yeah, there's no way Trump weighs 300 pounds. That's my brother's 275, and he's the same height as Trump, and he's bigger than Trump. My brother and Trump are about the same size. Maybe
is your brother bigger than Trump? But, I mean, think about it, because Trump wears those suits. He hides a lot behind those jackets, those big jackets he wears.
I bet you both Trump and my brother have, like, wear 44-inch waistbands.
I don't know.
I'm being honest.
I don't know.
My brother may even be bigger than Trump. I think my brother's bigger than Trump. I gotta show you a picture of my brother one day. I gotta find it.
We'll see. Coming up Wednesday, that's supposed to be when he's gonna turn himself in, I guess. And they're gonna put him on the scale. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit though. 530, Robert, you're live.
Hello,
Robert,
guys.
Before you get started, man, I got bad news.
Oh my God, here we go again.
I got a call from Human Resources this morning, right?
Oh, God, here we go again.
And it was discovered back in June of 2019, when you were still on the show. One of your drug test results came back positive for nandrolone.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And
right.
I just wanted to let you know that.
That's not really something to mess around with here, Robert.
Yeah, so what's going to have to happen is all those shows that you were on back in the day with us, you're gonna have to be edited out, man, because we don't know if you were taking nandrolone at that time or not.
Yeah, you were not. We don't know.
We don't know. So I just want to let you know it's very unfortunate that HR let me know this.
How in the world?
This was one of those tests that, for some reason, it flew under the radar, and they just were going through the records and it came up. I'm sorry.
Okay,
go ahead.
Guys.
Yeah, go ahead and follow that up.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I have never used steroids in my life. Give me a break.
I mean, that's not what drug-free sport test results came back for.
Give me a break.
It went to a accredited lab, man. I'm just.
I love how Robert feels the need to clear his name on a steroid thing.
There was also trace amounts of Cialis stacked with Viagra there too.
Yeah, right.
That's not bad.
And it was above the allowed limit.
I'm so happy that you guys can make this stuff up. It makes me laugh. That is beautiful. Beautiful
make
stuff.
This stuff up.
Yeah.
We could be liable if we made this stuff up. Are you
It's like you spending time with Lois.
You're
that doesn't
really
exist either.
Insulting the integrity of this show that we would taint our impeccable name?
Absolutely.
Don't lie, buddy.
That's
crazy.
Let's get on with the boxing here. First of all, I don't think the Liam Smith Chris Eubank fight is going to turn out differently. I think Smith is going to win, and I think he'll win again convincingly. Now, I would not have said that the first time they fought, but because of the way he was stopped and how badly he was hurt, I just don't know if Eubank can change things. I think Smith I think Smith will win again and win convincingly. As far as Crawford fighting Canelo, I think Terrence Crawford has a wonderful shot at actually beating Canelo. So I hope he takes that fight.
Yeah, I think that, listen, man, hey, anybody of Terrence Crawford's skill level, they got a shot, against quite a number of people. I mean, you can't go too far up, but I wouldn't go messing with Bivol, but
meanwhile, I think Canelo is going to beat Charlo rather convincingly, but I think Crawford is a much better fighter than Charlo.
Yeah, I think that Charlo is going to put up a better fight than a lot of people think. I don't know that he beats Canelo, but I think he puts up. I think that this fight is closer than you guys think, man.
Well, let's put it this
Canelo's
way, Eric.
So many miles he can do.
Let's put it this way, Eric. Las Vegas is Canelo's second hometown, and Canelo very rarely ever loses any kind of decisions in Vegas. The only time he really lost a decision in Vegas was when B-Ball beat him.
Well, right, but he's not losing fights in Vegas, though. You're acting like he's getting a bunch of gift decisions. He's not.
He's not
losing decisions in Vegas, but give me a close decision he had in Vegas.
And when
he lost, he lost to B-Ball. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like these fights were close, and it's not like the De La Hoya thing where they're just giving rounds to him.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean, like, he's earning
these
rounds. He's earning these wins.
All these fights
that people like to call controversial, they were razor close. That could have really gone either way. And that first fight with Golovkin, I had at 115 and 113, for Golovkin, but it's not out of the realm of possibility for someone to swing one of those rounds, and it could have been a draw. I have no problem with a draw in that fight.
I scored.
You know, that first Golovkin fight, though, that was nonsense.
Yeah.
That was
right,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll accept that if you say it.
Yeah.
I scored the first fight with those two a draw. The second fight I scored for Canelo. So, and I picked Golovkin.
I think the first fight I scored Triple G like 8 rounds to 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it 7-5.
Completely one sided.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but no, and I agree with you on Cal Yafai. I'd like to see him step up a little bit because right now, the people that they're putting him in it with. You know, it's very easy for him, but I don't know who they're going to find who's going to really give him a test. And I forget what weight
there's
class
he's in. There's a million of them out there. There's a million boxes out there, Robert.
Yeah.
There's a million boxing classes. I mean, it's not like the women's division where they can't fight anybody because they don't
know.
No,
no, no. I know. I know.
You know, there's like 30 people in there. It's,
right.
You know, I mean, it's stacked over there. There's tons of guys. He's in flyweight.
Right, right. So, you know, he looked good for, you know, he's looked good for the competition he's been in against. I'd like to see him fight somebody a little tougher, though. So we'll see what they
well,
come
we
up
say
with.
That.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we say that, but I will tell you this. Look, man, Tommy Frank was 15-3, one
right.
draw.
I know.
Moises Caieiros was 36-10.
Yeah.
Gohan Garcia was 12-1. You know,
right.
He's fighting guys with winning records, and he's also fighting guys that have been around for a bit. You know,
right.
they're experienced guys.
Right.
He's coming in with 4 and 5 fights. So
right.
and I made that point earlier that I would like to see him, but maybe they're giving this to him. I don't know.
Well, that's true.
Because, you
that's
know, listen,
true.
That's those are good yeah. records. All those guys he fought, they're good records, you know, and they're experienced guys, which is more important than what your record is, really.
And I think Usyk will win rather easily on Saturday. I've never been impressed with Dubois, especially his last fight, considering he had to get up from the 3 knockdowns in the first round to actually pull that fight out. I think Usyk will win that fight
well,
easily.
Well, getting marked.
You know, so, yeah. So, and I think
you
Jared
thought,
Anderson.
You thought the Joe Joyce fight was bad, huh? You thought the Joe Joyce fight was bad, babe? You're getting killed,
no,
huh?
Hey, he got a broken orbital bone in that fight, so I can't fault
yeah,
the guy.
Yeah, well, it's
that.
A long way from the heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Come on, Eric. First of all,
you don't know if he had a broken orbital bone. That wasn't released. Again, here you go with making up your stories again.
Oh, give
please,
me a break. And Jared Anderson
it was never
Eric,
diagnosed that it was a broken orbital bone. Stop sensationalizing everything.
Give me a break. And Jared Anderson will win on Saturday. That and I'm very impressed with Top Rank. He fought on July 1st and he's going to fight on August 26th. I like that a lot. I like it when the fighters are active.
Yeah,
they are keeping them busy.
Yeah, that's
yep.
what they need to do.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
All right, Robert.
All right, Robbie, make sure you stay off the stuff.
Oh, give me a break, Joe.
Now watch. He's going to...
It's not good for you, man.
He's gonna blow up my phone here in a minute talking about, he knows I'm not on steroids. What is he talking about?
I mean...
I love that he tries to clear his name. Like, he's trying to clear his name and everything. Like, I don't take steroids. I've never taken steroids. Like, anybody
right.
believes it, you know?
Because of the HIPAA laws, I can't show the actual documentation.
That's true. That's
but
very true.
But the results do have to get – because we have shareholders here, and people have to know that he did shows possibly when he was enhanced. We cannot lie to the shareholders of this company.
I would agree.
You can't lie.
We got a hater here, B, but I know it's a slow show. That's the only reason I picked this out. Edward Torres says that Robbie should take Eric's spot. Eric's a clown. Beeb, I love you, but I hate Eric. Blah blah blah.
First of all, Eric,
he's feeling left out, so we gotta help him out, man. He's feeling
Eric
a little left out.
Eric is the bloodline.
Today.
Eric is the bloodline of this show.
The tribal chief, I would say. They're the tribal chief.
Eric
like
is like
Reigns,
Eric. Know? Eric is like Jordan. I'm like Pippen. He passes me the ball when I cut to the hoop, man. That's what it is.
I don't know.
Without Eric,
I would say you're Kobe. You know, I give you Kobe.
Without Eric, I don't get the ball. I'm just letting you know. I don't get the ball without Eric, so don't take shots at Eric. He
so maybe you would be Jordan, I would
play.
Be Pippen, or maybe Steve Kerr, you know, where I toss you the ball. You know what I mean? We work in tandem, though.
Eric is the playmaker here. Okay?
That's right. We work very well together. Magic and Worthy. There you go. We're Magic and Worthy.
Yeah.
Are you watching that Laker thing?
I pop in and out with it. I don't know. Do you like it?
Edward's all love. I love you too, man. I do. You don't like it? Eric's a bit like Nia Jax.
I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a second
shot. Eric is like Luke Wiley. This is a sound in a hurry, isn't it?
I always open up a can of worms. These guys kill us all the time. I'm kind of disappointed the way Pippen has been talking about Jordan lately, though. I don't like that.
You know, I tell you what, though, but you got to think about this. And I imagine Kobe was the same way, and I imagine LeBron is probably the same way, too. You cannot be as good as Jordan or as good as LeBron or as good as Kobe and be a nice guy. They don't go hand in hand. They just don't, man. They don't go hand in hand.
As much as I don't like to believe that,
they said Jordan was just a complete jerk. I mean, everybody said that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a big jerk. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't like what don't you like about that show? Just like all the sex in it and stuff, or
no? I don't know. I just think it's a little, like it's kind of like seems like it's too sensationalized. I think.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from. Yeah.
I'll give it another try. I'll give it another try.
You got to check
it out. It's not as good as the Tyson Fury show, though. The Tyson Fury show is awesome.
Stop it, dude.
I love that show.
You watch Temptation Island?
I got to watch
that. Dude, you got to check that show out. That's the best show on TV, right?
Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'll check it out.
The whole premise is they bring these couples, right? They're not married. They're just sometimes they're engaged or whatever. They bring these couples to an island, right? They separate the guys and girls and put them on their own side and then take, like, models. I'm talking, like, 50 models. And then put them on both sides of the island. You know what I mean? They put the guys over here, the girls over here, and they see, you know, if one of these guys gets, you know, they cheat on their spouses at some point.
That sucks. Is there any Asian girls?
Newsflash, they all cheat on them. Yeah,
really? Any Asian girls?
Of course there's Asian girls on there.
I love the Asian girls. Oh, that's my weakness, man.
What's the matter with you? That's good, because I'll take anything. Doesn't matter to me. All right, let's start running down this news here, man. We got you the upcoming fights here. Phoebe, your girl, Alicia Baumgartner, tests positive for steroids. Ohio's own, that's why I call it into question anyway. I'm not sure how valid this test is. I know for a fact that I am from Ohio. I don't know anybody that uses drugs here. I really don't. I don't know anybody that uses drugs, steroids, anything to enhance themselves. I don't know any of that here. I don't know that it even exists here because we're such a fair place. However, according to Boxing Insider Dan Raphael, Baumgartner tested positive for the banned steroid mesterolone in a urine test conducted on July 12th, 3 days before she defeated Christine Linotardo. It doesn't matter.
Yes, that's right. You got it. She also tested positive for Prima Bowling, too, they say.
Yeah, there was a couple of them.
Two of them.
Phoebe, of course, she comes out and puts on her social media, It wasn't me. I didn't take anything. I never took anything. Just like 99.9 of everybody who gets caught says.
Yeah.
Please tell me, you know, like, what are you going to say? You've been caught. And if your B sample comes back negative, because that's both the same from the same specimen, you just divide them.
Yeah.
If your B sample comes back, you're on it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Whoa. No, we got to address this right now. This doesn't – no. Kadali Badiang says that Joe Burrow is on steroids. Joe Burrow is not on steroids, and that's slanderous. And you know what? I think we might drop a lawsuit, a cease and desist right there. All right, no way. My guy is on steroids. But, Beeb, this is becoming pretty prevalent. We hear about this. We seem to hear about this every couple of weeks, at least once a month. somebody's on steroids. And there's such a huge difference with the way VADA handles it, and then there's the way that USADA handles it. VADA doesn't handle it. They just report it. USADA actually hands out, as you told me earlier, hands out the suspensions and
the USADA website, and they give you the list of all the athletes that they've sanctioned, and you can see that the punishment they handed down, the date they handed it down, and the length of time that they handed it down. And they have their own drug collection officers, and they have their own blood collection officers. And because they do the adjudication process, if something comes back positive or whatever, and they actually do the investigation. So UFC pays like $7 million. I guess the PFL now uses them also now. Yeah. And I think there's like 456 athletes in the UFC, and you break that down, that's 14, a little bit over 14,000 per athlete that they're paying for testing. All right. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it right and just be consistent with it. You know, like I said, I don't like the fact that like the WADA protocol is different than the VADA protocol is different than the WADA protocol. I think every case is different, but this case doesn't really look good for Alicia. These are two anabolic drugs. I've never really heard, I could be wrong, but I've never heard of contamination of these two drugs in supplements. Whereas, you know, certain supplements do have, you know, if you read like there was a study done by Vox, and they did like looked over government records, and they found that in 850 supplements, there was illegal substances in there that were not even listed on the label, right?
Well, that could be a combination of things too. That could be they're not cleaning out the products. They're not.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean.
They're not FDA regulated, the supplement.
Right, they're not
they're
at
not
all
regulated by the.
So why? And, let me ask you, as a professional athlete, why wouldn't you have those supplements tested?
You could,
or
but
just
again,
give them a sample of what you're taking. You know what I mean? And say if anything comes back, you have the sample, you can test here. Or, and we have to let you know, hey, there's a piece of paper you fill out. Hey, I'm on this, I'm on this. You're supposed to list everything you're taking, but they don't. And so whose fault is this? It's your fault.
Yeah, people have different opinions on it. I think like a lot of times, even these cold medicines you take over the counter, if you look at the bottles, the ingredients are so small. You can't, I mean, it's,
well, that's why you run it past.
It.
That's why you run it past them. And they will tell you if it's banned or not banned. Yeah. They can probably tell you fairly quickly.
I'm not a big fan of banning supplements, stimulants out of competition, because I read the, you know, there's been reports, I've studied this. If you go to even the medical encyclopedia, they'll tell you that the duration of how long they're in your system is so short, and you know, the benefit is so short. So that's my problem with VADA with the stimulant thing. I don't like that they ban them under their protocol. It's banned in and out. I just think it should be banned in competition, like the day of the 24 hours before the fight.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I think you create a problem with VADA. The problem I have with VADA is when you create your own protocol that goes against the WADA protocol, the commission has to make a decision. Do we want to follow your protocol, or do we want to follow the WADA protocol? More often than not, right, they're going to follow the WADA protocol because it's by science, where the WADA protocol is backed by Victor Conti, who's a bass player. So
for sure.
That's the thing.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he should not be in charge of anything. He's a cheat.
Yeah,
he's a known cheat.
Yeah.
Once you're a known cheat, you don't get to go back on top of the world, and now I've got this whole thing of – no, you're a cheater. Why would we even trust you?
And all these people in the boxing journalist world, they're saying all these – like saying all his talking points. If you go to interviews and you listen to things he says that are not backed by science, like he makes just these incredulous claims about certain drugs. He came out with this drug called supplement called ZMA, which is zinc, magnesium, and it's got B12 in it, and it's supposed to be a recovery supplement.
Yeah,
I take it, I take it because it's good. Zinc is really good for your immune system, and it helps me sleep. But there's no actual evidence to back up that. They've done studies on it, and there's no actual evidence to say that it raises the testosterone level. He'll say, oh, it raises the testosterone up to 30%. It's a lie.
And it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. There's nothing out there that will raise your testosterone except testosterone. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no supplement you're going to buy that raises it. You have to go to a doctor and get shots or whatever. That will raise it.
Short of
that, no. It's a lie.
Yeah. But I guess the situation with this is I think the boxing world has been a lot of these journalists, because they let guys like Victor Conti in, they let guys like Memo Heredia in, they let guys like Alex Ariza in, and these journalists start talking to these guys, and they don't really do the research themselves and look up medical studies, and they just believe what Victor Conti and Memo Heredia, all these guys tell you, and you hear them talk, they're just basically parroting Victor Conti talking points. So because of that, this whole drug-free sport, the organization that did the drug testing for this, everyone's saying, well, because it's not VADA, it's not a reputable test. Both VADA and drug-free sport use the same collecting agency, which is called IDTM, and they both use the same WADA-accredited labs, and it's the same panel of testing. So it's basically identical. It's like, let me ask you this. You have a doctor, I have a doctor. You and I get ordered the same blood test. You get an order from your doctor, I get an order from my doctor. Is there going to be any difference between in terms of just the blood work itself is different, obviously, we're different people.
Yeah.
But is there going to be any difference in the efficacy or the quality of the test in itself?
There shouldn't
be. If both doctors are sending the sample to the same lab?
It shouldn't be.
So this whole notion that VADA is catching more people, they're the only ones catching people. No, they're not. The lab is catching you. The lab is doing the test, not them. It's the lab that's catching you. So everyone is getting on Hearn, saying he contaminated this test, saying he's using a rinky-dink testing organization, which the NFL uses, which is Major League Baseball uses, which the NCAA uses. So all of a sudden, because it's not VADA, and you have Victor Conti out there telling everyone it's not VADA, it's not a reputable test, when all of these orgs use the same lab. So basically, all these rumors came out. Oh, Eddie, she's got one fight left on her contract. So Eddie Hearn contaminated
the sample. What the easiest explanation is? She did it. Bottom line. She did it. She's guilty. That's it. There is no – listen.
Yeah,
nobody knows. When they give them the vials and stuff like that, when they go to the lab, I don't know. They know them as patient number 455, 181, or whatever it is. They don't know that this is Alicia Baumgartner because her name's not on it. They're all numbers.
So Shoeshine said, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Shoeshine said, he said, Quest Diagnostics should start doing tests and you have results in 48 hours. Here's the problem with that. You need a WADA accredited lab to get the results from these samples. Now the urine sample does not take that long, not as long as the blood. But when you do the blood, and you have to understand, you're not just looking for one or two things. Like when you or I go to the doctor and we get like a full panel blood test, we get our cholesterol, we get our glucose, and we get they get our urine checked to make sure there's no protein in our urine, whatever. Very simple test. When you got a special lab that's WADA accredited that has to, do the actual testing of the sample, right? And the panel that they're looking for, they're testing for 20 to 30 PEDs, and that list gets bigger every year, right? So you're looking for more things. You're not going to snap. It's never going to be that quick process. It's going to take at least 2 to 3 weeks. Sometimes when you look at those Conor Benn results, right? He took a test on July 25th and September 1st. The first result, these were VADA tests, by the way. The first result came back in like 3.5 weeks. The second one came back in like a little over 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have one lab that's doing all of the testing for PEDs, and they're looking for so many PEDs, it's never going to be an expeditious process. It's just, it's not. The only way to resolve this is try to get more water accredited labs. That's number one. And maybe take some of these fucking stupid stimulants or some of these stupid drugs off the list, like these meldonium or whatever. I don't know. You gotta take a look at some of the drugs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to take the anabolic stuff off or, you know, but just take a look at the list, because every year the list is just getting ridiculously
bigger, yeah.
Higher.
Well,
getting bigger and bigger. So they're looking,
hitting the market,
so they're gonna be,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, they're looking for more things. So it's not gonna be an easy process.
Rocky brought up a really great point, and he says no way Eddie Hearn would risk time in federal prison by sabotaging fighters' careers. That's what you have to understand. That right there is the most common sense thing. Right. When I hear like doctors may have sabotaged, doctors did this or doctors, they can lose their license, son. You realize how hard they had to work to get the license, how hard that is to become a doctor, and they're going to risk it for you for $10,000 or something stupid? Come on, stop.
I got to address something else Shoeshine said. They test close to the fight and they test after the fight, but also you have to understand they're testing like weeks before too.
Yeah.
So you're getting like anywhere from five, like at least 3 to 5 tests. So one of them is going to be close to the fight. That doesn't mean all of them are. So it's good to test close to the fight and after the fight. You know why? Because you may have not, if we test you early and then we don't test you late, then you could take something afterwards. And if we don't, they need to know if you took something, you know, during that week. And there's, oh, well, that, what does that matter? Because you actually allowed her to fight with it. Okay, but now moving forward, if she gets suspended, then someone else doesn't have to fight her if she's on something. You see what I'm saying? So I understand your point, but it's all relevant. Like you test throughout the whole camp. You
right.
test 3 weeks out, 6 weeks out, and then you test the week of or and after the fight. You need to do testing all throughout, because if you test early and you get the results back and then you don't test any further after that, she could take something and you're not going to test it for it, and you'll find out after the fight. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to know. So if she comes up positive after the fight, then you could you sanction her, suspend her, and then she can't do it again. And then next time she fights, when she threw her suspension, you test her even, you know, more stringently, right?
Did they get the results 3 days before the fight? Or was she tested 3 days before the fight?
She was tested 3 days before
the
fight.
When did they get the results?
Like I think 3.5 to 4 weeks later.
No. You know,
but
I mean,
regardless,
what's the point of testing her? I mean, I get it. But listen, the whole point is to catch her.
She passed her earlier test,
gotcha.
Is what
okay.
I'm saying. Earlier.
I gotcha.
That's the thing.
Okay, I gotcha.
So if you're testing all throughout and someone fails one of the tests that is done later, the time is when the time is. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when they test with the old protocol, when the commissions did the testing, they didn't do any pre-fight testing. They just tested – right after the fight. So I mean, it's still important to test the week of the fight and after the fight, because if you come up positive, okay, you may have been able to fight with it in your system, potentially, but then you get suspended and you can't fight again. You know what I'm saying? And then they make sure, then you get tested constantly. You know what I'm saying? So if you get caught, like I was looking over the USADA testing data. There's one guy in the UFC got tested 14 times in 1 year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's fucking long. That's what, you know what I'm saying? So the testing is done based upon, you know, your record.
Right.
Right?
Right. So, all right, let's go ahead and move forward here. Francis Ngannou is training again. We talked about this earlier for Tyson Fury. I saw a video, and I sent this video to Beeb, Francis Ngannou training for Tyson Fury. Beeb, listen, we know he's a big guy. We know he's got a heavy punch, but quite honestly, a lot of people can hit hard. You know what I'm saying? It's about landing that punch, and I get that. Beeb, I saw his training. I don't feel that he has literally any shot to beat Tyson Fury. I mean, like, zero. I don't think he'll connect. I don't think he can get a punch there to the target. And not to mention, you're fighting one of, you know, arguably the best heavyweight on the planet right now. And I understand that this is for a, you know, it's more of a spectacle than it is a fight. I get that. But Ngannou, I believe, is training. He's being trained by Mike Tyson. I believe he is taking it seriously. I mean, he looks like he's in good shape. But seeing him punch and box and everything, it doesn't look good, man.
I don't want to put words in mouth or draw a conclusion for you, but you're saying even if Fury carries him, because this guy's so bad, it's not going to look good, in other words.
Right.
You can't even...
No, I don't believe...
You can't even make this... In other words, you can't even make this look entertaining.
No, I really don't believe so. I mean, he's got a very amateur... When you saw it, it looked... When he was hitting the bag, he looked very amateurish. But he's a UFC guy, and there's... Their boxing is a different kind of boxing than our boxing. Because you got to worry about a takedown. I got to worry about getting kicked in the face. I got to worry about an elbow coming toward me. In boxing, I got to worry about two hands coming toward me, and I got to worry about the guy's feet. You know, I got to worry about it. You know, there's more things. There's things to worry about, but not like MMA, where I got to worry about being taken down as well as this guy's stance in front of me. But you saw the video. What was your take on that video?
Yeah, I look. I don't want to be disrespectful.
I don't either.
I think it's a hard sell. It was already a hard sell for me. It becomes a harder sell for me now.
You know,
that's as polite as I can put it.
I want to see press conferences and stuff like that, but
I want to see O'Malley. Bad. I'd rather see O'Malley fight Tank. That's more interesting to me. At least, like, O'Malley does have a pro fight. He won one fight by knockout.
Yeah, dude. O'Malley
probably
smashed by Tank.
He'll get smashed, but it'll be fun while it lasts.
It'll last about one or two rounds is what it's going to last.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Yeah, from what I understand, Fury Ngannou is official. Go ahead.
Would it look worse than Mayweather-McGregor, Tank versus O'Malley?
I thought McGregor did very well. I thought McGregor did very well in that fight, and I could care less what Floyd says. He's going to say he carried him, because what else is he going to say?
I think he carried him, too.
Well, of course you do. What else is he going to say?
Let me ask you a question, though.
He carried him and took all those shots. He took some big shots in there.
I don't think he really took hot shots.
You don't think he took hard shots? You don't think McGregor hits hard?
He hit him with a jab, right? And he went like this. I don't know, man.
Listen, man. I mean, Floyd's better than McGregor. I don't think there's anybody arguing.
You're easily influenced. I mean, that's
of course, yeah, because I don't live. When Trump said the election was really stolen, you actually believe it was really stolen?
No, you can't prove that. Why? Here's the thing, bro. If you can't prove it, then just let it go. You can say whatever you want, but if you can't find those votes, there's nothing you can do.
That was crazy
when he did that.
Well, let's switch gears here. So I usually don't bring up politics on here just because, you know, everybody's got their own version. Everybody's got their own different opinions. But this is something that's kind of in our wheelhouse, and that's the weight thing. So Trump is going to be weighed in, I guess, on Wednesday. He's going to turn himself in on Wednesday, and he's going to get on the scale. And they're going to, you know, like in New York, they didn't do this, and nowhere else they did. Here he's going to get mugshotted. And he's gonna be, he's gonna get mugshotted. He's gonna get, you know, his weight and height and weight posted. And he's lied for years. He said, you know, what is he, 220 or something like that? He says,
like 230, 239, maybe.
230, yeah. Okay.
I'm guessing he's 270.
But the over under, they're actually taking bets on this, and the over under for the weight is 273. I'm saying he weighs over 273. You're right. He may not weigh 300, but he weighs over 273.
He could weigh 275, and you'd be right.
Yeah. What do you think?
So, I'm going to be honest with you. This is very, very tough because I think he weighs in between 270 and 275. So if he weighs, very possible he could weigh 274.
I think, what did they say he weighed in New York? The rumor was that he weighed 270?
270.
They said he weighed 270. That was the rumor that leaked out. Nobody really knows if it's true because it's not published anywhere. That's kind of the rumor.
I'm gonna say he weighs 273 right on the fucking dot. That's my pick.
I think he's over 273. Over 273.
But not a lot. Not a lot over.
I think he could be as high as 280, 290.
No.
You think about that for a minute. How much,
Eric.
Dude? you think about it for a minute, right? He's got all the stuff on him, all the stress, you know what I mean? All the stress coming in, he eats a lot, you know, I'm just saying.
Some people don't eat. It can work both ways. Some people, when they're stressed out,
I don't think he's one of them. I don't think he's one of them.
He's the other way?
I think he's probably a stress eater.
You think this Haagen-Dazs at 12 o'clock?
Haagen-Dazs. There might be Haagen-Dazs there. 410. Let's go to 410. You're live. Jerry from Baltimore.
How much does Trump weigh, Jerry?
I don't know what he's doing. All right, Jerry, you missed it. 804. You're live.
What's up?
Corey Lee.
Corey,
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing?
Corey will tell us after the weigh-in how much he weighs.
How much does Donald Trump weigh, Corey? How much does Donald Trump weigh right now? Your opinion.
Donald Trump weighs about 205.
What?
205?
I don't know how tall is he, though. I thought he was short.
He's 6. What is he, 6'3"?
He's really 6'2".
Oh, he's
6'2".
I'm going to say
240
then.
He's 6'2". He's
6'2". 240?
I'm going to say about 2. I'm going to say 230, 240.
Oh, dude, no way. Dude,
that's
he's at least in the 270s.
Eric, they're actually going to arrest him, and they're going to take a mugshot.
They're going to do it up. They said they're going to do a mugshot. They're going to print his height and weight. And no other place that he's been has he really been treated like that, because former president, everybody knows what this dude looks like, you know, so there's no reason to take a mugshot. He's the most recognizable man on earth.
And where is this going to be done, in Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to do him in Georgia or whatever.
Well, they're disrespecting him, huh?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't care. I mean, you know. Rocky says Trump is like 215. Shushan says way over 250. The gut says 300 pounds. Ben Nando says at least 300 pounds. I'm saying he's about 275. He's up there.
Yeah, I'd say about 275.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's 273.
He'd have to drop weight to be a UFC heavyweight, put it that way.
Maybe
265 limit. I would think that's where I'm at. I like around 275, 280. Omar Rodriguez is 285. Yeah, everybody seems to be going over. Beeb says 273 or under.
Jerry's back on the line.
Okay.
Back on the line. Well, okay. So why? We came to you. You weren't ready. What do you want me to do about it? Just you know, people don't tune in to hear Jerry talk. I saw him over there. It says, you know, I've been on the line for an hour. Okay, so what? We got to show you.
Yo, Jerry,
sorry.
I like Jerry when he calls in, though. Jerry's funny, though, man. I like Jerry.
He's not bad.
You like better, Jerry or Robert?
I think we should do a Jerry versus Robbie, man. Yeah.
I feel a text coming on right now. Here,
for them
too. Jerry Rice. Jerry makes the show.
But no, I wanted to call in y'all and talk about the music fight.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Have y'all talked about that yet, or I'm just calling in just now?
No, Eric is shitting all over Daniel Dubois, man, but
pretty much, yeah.
He kind of touched on it a little.
Let me tell you what, Usyk kills this guy. This fight don't even see the final bell. He's getting knocked out. Or he'll quit midway through the fight. I just did.
I think this is a pretty good fight, though, Eric, man. I think this is a good fight, man. I think both guys are really, you know, poised to do well in the heavyweight division. We know Oleksandr Usyk has one more belt left, you know, to get, you know, the four in the four-belt era to be undisputed. I truly think that Daniel Dubois is a good challenger. Huh?
He's never gonna beat Tyson Fury, man.
Yo, but listen, man, I think Daniel Dubois is a good opponent, and a dangerous opponent. He's gonna be outweighing Usyk by probably about 40 or 50 pounds. Skills do pay the bills, but this is a good test to see if Usyk, you know, is ready for the big boys, you know, and you know, with Tyson Fury being so big. I think Daniel DeBose is, what, 6'6", 6'7", about 260?
He's 6'6".
This is a real – huh?
He's like 6'6". He's big.
6'6", that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I think that this is a firm test for Oleksandr Usyk, man. And I'll definitely be tuning in. I think Oleksandr Usyk is the best heavyweight right now out of all the heavyweights. And he stayed true to that. You know, he's never lost. And he just keeps winning and winning and winning. I think that Tyson Fury fighting Ngannou, I think is a money grab, you know. And I think that we're in a sport now of, you know, especially these veteran fighters, you know, they can see the ending coming close. And, you know, they want to make some money grabs. So I'm not mad at Tyson Fury. Just don't lie to the public and say that, you know, Usyk is ducking you, because Usyk was willing to take 70-30.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, he was.
Why? And I was directed towards you, Bees.
That's all hearsay.
That's all hearsay.
But
I got to see the paperwork.
But I just think that, you know, Usyk is a better athlete than Tyson Fury and all of the heavyweights that I've seen lately. Even Anderson, Big Baby. You know, he's very talented. He's from the U.S. But I still think there's holes in his game. And, you know, I think that those holes can be massive holes when it comes to a guy like Oleksandr Usyk. I mean, he's going to exploit those, just like Terrence Crawford did against Errol Spence. The great ones know how to get it done. You know, and I'm not saying Tyson Fury is great, but I feel like Usyk is great as well. And everything that he's done to this point has proven a lot of the naysayers, you know, wrong. You know, you were the same one, Beavs, that, you know, were thinking that Joshua was going to win. So, you know, against Usyk. So I just feel like, you know, at this point, you know, we've heard what you had to say, but I just think that Tyson Fury, man, I think that the end is coming. It might not be in the Ngannou fight, but Usyk will be waiting right there after, man. God willing, he gets by this Daniel DeBose. It's a big fight, man. But that's my call, man. You guys have a great show, man. CoreyLeeLawnCare.com. Let's go.
CoreyLeeLawnCare.com. I love it. I love
it. You're doing a great job with it. So you guys think, because Tyson Fury weighs 270, right? 270. He was 277 in the fight against, well, he was like 265 against Chisora in his last fight.
Right.
You guys think Trump weighs more than Tyson Fury?
Yeah, you have the luxury. You got to think about it, too. Like, you have the luxury of seeing Tyson Fury at a weigh-in and what his body looks like. You don't have that luxury with Trump. He wears his big clothes. He wears, like, you know, if you see him, he's always got the big jackets on. You never see him, you know.
Yeah, his jacket's, like, two sizes too big always.
Yeah, you know, and then, like, you see him and stuff, and you don't really get a sense of how big he really is. I think he's a big guy. I think he's going to weigh a lot because he's tall. I mean, 6'2", 6'3", that's a big dude, man.
Why do they have to weigh him, though?
I guess that's what they do for all the people. I guess that's what they do, man. All right, let's bring on Jerry here. 410, you're live.
Word to Big Bird. What's up? Hello?
That was what you waited an hour to say. That was your big entrance. Big entrance. Oh,
hey, man, maybe I should call.
You got to work on your entrance, my friend.
The last part of the show, because I was on hold for so long, I damn near fell asleep. What are you talking
about?
Right,
I forgot everybody came to hear you. What was I thinking? I should have put you on way earlier.
Well, that's why they're asking for me.
You need to
give
you your own segment.
So, well, that's why they're asking for me in the comments to call in and stuff.
You're
so,
asking
yeah.
for you. I think you were asking for you is what it was in the comments.
There's a lot of sock puppet accounts in the chat, man.
Some selective reading. You didn't, I guess you skipped those parts.
We got Beeb's boyfriend on the line. So what gives here, Jerry? What's up?
Let me just run through a couple things. Richard Torres, this guy, if he's got a chin, he could maybe make for some exciting fights. They're putting him in with absolute tomato cans, which could be expected. But his technique is seriously sloppy. How he won a medal, I don't know, because that fight the other night, they pulled that guy out of a KFC. He's swinging from the hips, totally squared up. This guy is a knockout waiting to happen. Now, I like him, but it's a classic example of promoters pushing who they want to be popular. To me, we're not going to know nothing about him until he steps up significantly in competition. Baumgartner. I don't like Baumgartner. I'm not surprised at all that she popped dirty. I don't mind her being cocky like she is, but to me, I got a limit with any fighter to where you're cocky and then you're disrespectful. And I don't like a loud mouth, so, you know, that's that on that. Lastly, Bud Crawford. Bud Crawford, and I hate to be a stick in the mud here about Bud because I really like Bud Crawford, but people are dangerously overrating Bud Crawford off of that Spence fight. I'm one of the people in the crowd that believe that had more to do with Spence not being right. I've seen Crawford fight against far lesser fighters and not do nearly as good. I'm not trying to take credit
Come
from
on,
him.
Son.
I just don't
Stop
think
it.
Spence was right, man. Spence a better
Stop
fighter
it.
Than that. And I think Crawford could make a good showing
Hold
against Canelo Alvarez.
Seen it, son. Come on.
But let me finish. Well, I mean, look how he did against Benavidez. You're going to tell me Benavidez is a better fighter than Errol Spence? The guy came 10 seconds from...
We'll never know because they're not
going to
fight.
Distance.
Combat
well,
math doesn't work. His styles make fights. You know what I mean? He's just got that style
well,
that gets him.
Well, Kavalaska's style isn't too far different than Errol Spence's, and he did way better than Spence did, as did Avanesian, as did Benavidez, as did everybody. When you look at Bud Crawford's career
Sean
as
Porter.
A whole...
Sean Porter.
Well, Porter, I mean, but, you know, his dad said he didn't train right. He doubled down on him.
Porter did better against Crawford than Spence did against Crawford, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody
I'm helping you out, Jerry. I'm helping you out, Jerry, for once.
Yeah, everybody did better than Spence. And I'm not surprised that Bud beat Spence, but I'm shocked that he beat him like that. And to me, it's not like there's no reasons why Spence wouldn't have been right. Weight draining alone could have been the problem. But the guy's got all kinds of reasons why he might not have been right. I'm not taking credit from Bud Crawford. Nobody can really do that. The accomplishments are in stone now. But if you look at Bud Crawford's record, We judge fighters' greatness based usually on if they beat great fighters. I don't see any great fighters in his resume. I don't see any great fighters
in
his
resume. Is Bud Crawford's resume?
Yeah.
Stop.
I mean, maybe
Stop.
If you tell me who
Stop.
You think. Who, Gamboa, maybe?
Come on. Who's the great fighters in Spence's resume?
Well,
that's
a good question. That's a fair question.
Listen, you don't get to be undisputed champion. Now, you don't get to be undisputed champion two times, two weight class undisputed champion, without fighting good guys.
Well, I didn't say not good.
You
got to
give him some credit there.
I didn't say not good. I said great. And that's how we've judged greatness in the past. Now, if you don't have great fighters around you.
He's fought Kell Brook, Sean Porter.
I know
who he's
fought,
everybody,
bro. I know who he's
well,
talking
about.
Then
you shouldn't be talking then, right? Then there's,
Jerry,
not
Jerry,
there.
There's no greatness there. Tell me the great fighter.
I already did.
Jerry, can I say something? No, Jerry, let me just say this. Sometimes if a fighter is great, everyone else is just good in comparison to him, right?
Right.
Can we say that?
I wouldn't go along with that. Ray Leonard was one of the greatest fighters ever in a ring, but he had tough fights against his peers. Tommy Hearns, you know, Duran. You name it, Hagler, and he was a legendary great. When you try to
Walter
say something
Wade,
about,
if you
Bud,
look at
if you look at
Ray Leonard at welterweight, Tommy Hearns, Wilfredo Benitez, and those are the two great fighters, and everyone else is just good. So I mean, there's always going to be that two or three at the top, Jerry, and everyone else is going to be beneath them, is what I'm saying in terms of ability. That's just the way history has shown us, no? I mean,
no,
if you look at welterweight and Ray Leonard, Dara, you look at the guys Ray Leonard beat at welterweight. Benitez was great, and Hearns was great, and he was great. So there's the three of them. And then Duran came up, but you know he went to 150. He didn't stay long at 147. He went to 154. So he basically had like one or two fights at 147. So I mean. Duran
I
had
get
a very
all that,
short
but when I look at Crawford's resume, I don't see anyone close to a Hearns, Benitez, or Duran, or anybody.
I mean, where are you going to find somebody close to a Hearns in this era? Where?
But again, like the era is what the era is.
Right.
Like You can only do what's in your era. So it's like when you graduate at the top of your class. You graduate at the top of your class in 87. You can't go back. Oh well, that doesn't mean anything. You're the top 1% of your class. Because in 80s, if you did it in 77, you would have never been able to do it.
Right, because we had this valedictorian there or something stupid.
Yeah,
I understand
what you're saying. I mean, if you want to use that argument in comparison to all-time great, that's fine. But I think
he's the best player out there.
I think
Crawford
is
his head and shoulders
I'm
above everybody else in his division.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm using the criteria that great fighters have been judged on throughout the history of boxing. I don't blame Bud Crawford because he fought the fighters that his promoter was putting in front of him, and he done a very good job beating them. But I'm not going to move on.
Who did he not beat?
Who did he not fight that you wanted him to fight at 147?
Well, the fights between Brooke and Porter would have been better fights if they had happened earlier, but I don't blame him.
Okay, but they did.
Because he didn't have control.
Yeah.
When he fought Kell Brook, Brook had two
eyes. He gets old. When they get older, Jerry, he gets older too. He's older than them. He's like 36.
Right.
He's not even technically in his physical prime, and he's still beating these guys incredibly decisive and stopping them.
Yeah,
he's knocked out.
Yeah, but there's a caveat. The age is one factor. There's more factors involved. Kell Brook was seriously damaged coming into that fight, and he retired after the fight. The only reason he came back is because Khan finally said he would fight him. He came back and fought him. Haven't seen him since. Sean Porter, same thing. Sean Porter retired. He was done. I'm not saying that Bud wouldn't have beat them in his prime. I'm just saying what I'm basically saying is I don't see greatness on his resume as far as opponents. And to me, his career, even looking back on it, he's always going to be criticized a little bit, fairly or unfairly, you know, and it's probably unfair. I'll give you that because it's not his fault, and I know that it's not his fault. But one last thing about him and Canelo. Now, they talk about Gervonta Davis fighting Bud Crawford, and Bud said, look, you know, if I fight him, I won't get credit because he'll have to move up three weight divisions. So I've seen a thing with Canelo where he said the same thing. He said, Bud Crawford's a great fighter, but if I beat him, they're going to say he moved up three weight divisions. People are talking about that fight now that Bud is saying he would take that fight, but I think the likelihood of it happening is very little because Canelo makes $40-plus million a fight plus his endorsements. In order for him to face the type of ridicule he would face by getting maybe beat by Bud Crawford, he's probably going to want twice as much money, and I just don't know if Bud Crawford fits the bill for that. Even this
that
huge
is,
pay-per-view.
That is.
Yeah, maybe.
That
I
is.
That's
that
a,
is
that's a huge
think.
Fight. Him and Canelo is the biggest fight right now, if you think about it. If he moved up to fight Canelo, it'd be a huge fight. Huge.
Canelo fights is huge anyway. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Canelo gets a lot of money anyway, and he's already made
probably
$500 million because he's got huge endorsement deals what Mayweather didn't have. And he knows. He sees how good Crawford is. Just because he's three weight divisions below doesn't mean a year from now he's not walking around somewhere like he does in 160s. And you know, you're talking about a faster guy. You're talking about a very tricky fighter in Bud Crawford. He could give Canelo problems, and how's that going to look on Canelo's legacy when he's looked at as a guy that had a guy come up three weight divisions and beat him? I don't think he's going to want to fight him based simply on the fact that he doesn't need to fight him. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and answer that question. I'm going to go ahead and move on, Jerry. We're going to put you on
Canelo,
hold while he answers that.
If he beats Canelo, where do you put him after that, Jerry?
He's on hold. But again,
hold.
You know, yeah, he's on.
Answer me in the chat, Jerry.
Yeah.
Answer me in the, or if you want to bring him back on, if you want, you can answer me in the chat. Like,
right,
if he beats Canelo, if Crawford beats Canelo, he's not going to move up the spot.
He already said he's not moving off the spot. So if that's the case, then we can give you any scenario you have. He ain't moving off that spot. He doesn't think he has
so
a hold.
So Crawford beats
know.
Canelo, that then he still can't be great.
How anybody can say Crawford has a light resume is beyond me. I think that Errol Spence had a better resume at welterweight than Crawford did. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think maybe even overall. But he went in there and washed him. Son, he went in there and washed. That fight wasn't even close.
I disagree with you slightly on the resume because I think they both have both of their best wins were Brook and
Porter.
But the thing with Spence is he had more fights at 147 and Crawford had less.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have more. So it's
right. That's kind of what I'm alluding to. Like he had more fights at 147. So he's got a better resume at 147 than Crawford.
Because he had more fights. Just for the sheer reason he had more fights.
Right. Just like, you know.
That's fair.
Absolutely. But,
I understand.
You know, overall, the resumes were fairly, you know, they're fairly comparable. They really are. It's not like, listen, man, it's not like he's fighting bums to get where he's at. How many Hall of Famers has he beat?
Spence.
I don't know. Yeah, well, he's beat Spence. He's already beat
Gamboa.
One.
Spence and Gamboa.
Spence and Gamboa, there's two.
Yeah, Jimbo is one of the whole
thing. Yeah. Rocky said Bud doesn't beat Canelo. That's possible. We don't know. We may never know.
I mean, most people are going to pick Canelo. I mean, he's going to be the favorite. That's
well, sure.
No question about that.
You're not fighting a guy like Spence here. This guy, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, again, man, I thought Spence could go up and fight Canelo. I mean, you know what I mean? I thought that would – but after seeing him, you know, just get obliterated like that, it's a tough call. It's a real tough call.
Yeah.
All right, B, we've arrived at that part on our show where your man is on the line. Big Texas, 806, and he's been on here for a while. 806, Big Texas, you're live.
What up, B?
At least you can look
hello,
at the
Beeb.
Camera, Beeb.
Hello, Beeb.
Beeb, he's saying hello.
All
he's
right.
Here. He's waiting for you. He's
all right, I'm a little
he's
tired.
He likes what you can do.
I'm a little tired. I've been up all night just making sure I do a good point for Beeb, so I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he enjoys it. Here we go.
Absolutely.
Roses are red and violets are blue. Beeb, guess what color my balls get when I think of you?
Woo!
All right.
Oh.
Now I got a song. Now
While
Beeb is guessing, I have a song for him. I hope everybody enjoys it, but most important thing is that Beeb enjoys it. So here we go.
Absolutely.
This is for Beeb.
What a good voice.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Lean on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I might just have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody to lean on. They lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll come along, and I'll start going down, just leaning on me.
Wow. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Beeb, you realize, Beeb, that you're not an ostrich. You realize that when you bend down, we can still see you. We still see you right now. You realize that, right? I mean, just because you put the head in the sand doesn't mean we can't see you. I still see you. You know, we still see you.
I'm using my superpower. I'm actually invisible right now. You just don't know it.
Except you're not.
Oh, God, that's devastating to me right now.
Oh, my God.
If I had a choice, if I was on death row and I had to listen to that, we get the gas chamber. I'm taking the gas chamber.
Heaven just opened up, according to Omar Rodriguez. I love it. Got a voice like an angel, Beeb, and he's only got eyes for you. What do you think about that?
I can't stand it.
I can't stand it. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My goodness. All right, guys. That is it. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter or X, I guess it's the same thing now, at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week.